Thank you, and thank you for being back here. I know we're getting off to a little bit of a late start, but I understand that. So we won't be long tonight. We'll get out about the same time. But thank you for being here. Thank you for a great day today, this Sunday morning. A great crowd here, and several folks joining the church. And so thank you for your diligent effort. I want to look at something. Of course, I know we looked at David and Saul this morning from the aspect of the relationship and how Saul blew that, but I want to look at a different thought here when it comes to the two men. Have you ever thought about the fact that two people or individuals can have the same opportunities, they can have the same chance placed in front of them to do something or accomplish something, and yet one person will succeed while the other fails? You ever notice that? I know we live in a society now where people are fine if they can find excuses for why things are not going well for themselves. But all things being equal, if someone wants to accomplish something in a field God wants them to accomplish, they can do it. And yet there's people that will start in the same area, the same, and it works for somebody, and others it doesn't. Some people just don't succeed. You know that one of my least favorite restaurants in the history of the world is McDonald's. I appreciate it. I have lunch with the seniors once a month, and we gave Joel, is Joel, Joel's probably in here, like, if he was going to go on senior trip, they're like, we have to eat McDonald's, because I let them choose what we eat. And so if he went, not only did they have to eat McDonald's, but I had to eat McDonald's. And so I will have Pepto-Bismol at the ready right there. It's not one of my favorite places, but you do know that the history of it, that the ones who started the franchise are not the ones who made it successful. It was started by a couple of brothers, the McDonald brothers, out in San Bernardino, and they had one open, and they were doing really well, but they didn't want to do really anything else. And really, it wasn't until a man named Ray Kroc came and bought it from them, and he made it a worldwide death center, okay? But he's the one that took it. The other brothers would have had the same opportunity, but they didn't just take advantage of it. You see this in the secular realm when you look at businesses. You can see two people that are in the same type of work. The other succeeds while the other fails. You can see athletes, and really a lot of times when it comes to athletes, it's not a matter of their athletic talent. There's other things involved. And two guys with the same type of opportunity and athletic talent, one can be successful and the other loses. Let's make it on a more practical plane. You can look at two families. One family thrives while the other family has nothing but constant problems and in some instances falls apart. Look at marriages. You can have two different couples, and one couple has a great marriage and the other couple has nothing but struggles. Why is that? Well, I think that it comes down to choices. Some people make the choice to try while other people choose to sit. Some people make the choice to take risk while others resist that and play it safe. Some people make the choice to listen and get help while the other ignores. Others make the choice to work and some make the choice to play. And sometimes when things get hard, one person will make the choice to continue while the other will make the choice to quit. See your life as traveling down a path. And as you go down that path on a daily basis, you are faced with choices. And the choices you make will determine really where you go on that path and the results that you will achieve. Your decisions will either lead you to success in an area or they will lead you away from success. They will either lead you towards joy or they will lead you away from joy. They will lead you towards contentment or lead you away from contentment. And you can go on and on and on. Many of you have probably heard this before, but there's an illustration, and if you know this, don't say it, but of an 1800s politician and all of his failures. This politician in 1832 lost his job. Also in 1832, he was defeated for state legislator. He failed in business in 1833. He was finally elected to state legislature in 1834. His sweetheart died in 1835. He had a nervous breakdown in 1836. He was defeated for speaker in 1838. He was defeated for a nomination for Congress in 1843. He was elected to Congress in 1846. He lost a nomination in 1848. He was rejected for a land officer in 1849. He was defeated for U.S. Senator in 1854. He was defeated for the nomination for the Vice President in 1856. And he was defeated again for U.S. Senate in 1858. Sounds to me like he did a lot of losing. He was finally elected president in 1860. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He could have very easily quit, but he kept going forward. You see, as we look briefly tonight at King David and we look at King Saul, we're going to see that the choices they made affected where eventually they ended up. We looked at them this morning and Saul's failed relationship. But tonight I want us to look at some key differences in these two men. Now, they did have some things in common. They were both made kings. They were both told by God if they just did a few things, they could have enduring kingdoms. They also had the opportunity to have successful reigns, not just be a king, but be successful in how he governed the country. And they both could have had great influence for the right. You see that in the history books, that the kings, in most cases, determine the righteousness of the country and the direction in which they went. But they both ended on different notes. Now, I want you to see, I'm going to look at two battles they fought. This is what we saw in the text. We saw at the end of 1 Samuel how Saul and his sons were slain in battle, and we saw what happened there. And then we read the one verse in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, to show that at the same time that that was happening to Saul, David had come back from the slaughter of the Philistines, of the Amalekites, and he was now in a place where he was going to take the kingdom. Let's look at their two battles. Look back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16 to 20 real quick. We'll read a few verses here tonight, so you want to have your Bibles open there. We see first how David fought the Amalekites, and his ended in victory. In verse 16 it said, "And when they brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad in the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah." They had actually defeated Ziklag when David was gone, and so David and his guys chased after them. Verse 17, "And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks of the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, 'This is David's spoil.'" Not only did he fight them and get back everything that was taken, he took back stuff they had taken from other people. He had a great victory. I find this interesting too. David defeated the Amalekites, and the whole reason David had to defeat the Amalekites is because Saul had been disobedient to God and had not defeated them in the first place. That's partially why he lost the kingdom. So David's battle here, and these battles are around the same time, is in victory. Now let's look at Saul's battle. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 31, the verses we did not read at the beginning of the chapter. It says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and they fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Machuselah, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men the same day together. Here's, we see Saul right after David's battle victory. We see Saul losing to the Philistines. By the way, the Philistines were a group that David had defeated earlier. And maybe that wouldn't have happened if Saul had not chased him away. But that's not the message. We see here two different battles, fought at around the same time, but you see two completely different outcomes resulting in two different futures. What was the future for David and Saul? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it came to pass after the death of Saul. That's one outcome. Saul died. By the way, in all the battles that Israel fought, they did not have to lose one. Not one. The reason they lost was because of their disobedience to God. If they had been obedient to God, God would have allowed them to have victory in every battle they fought. But we know that they didn't, and that's what happened here to Saul. And when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, Saul not only lost, he was killed with his sons. He was slaughtered. David came back, he had slaughtered the enemy. Saul was dead and his kingdom was over. David was victorious and his kingdom was starting. Now what's the message? There are a lot of differences between Saul and David. But what I want us to figure out and see tonight is this. In these two separate battles, fought at around the same time, here's the question. Why did they have such different results? Why was it that Saul lost and David, with fewer men, won? David not even being the king. What is the difference? How did that happen? Well, I believe we get the clues if we will look back to how each of these men prepared for the battles. If you look at how they prepared for the battles, we see what these men were like. We see a picture of the choices that they were making in life. And we see these choices as a factor that had brought them to this point. A couple more verses and I'll give you a few thoughts here. Look at David's preparation in 1 Samuel chapter 30 again. Verse 6. Now look, David's came after he came back from a battle, from being sent back from the war by the Philistines. He comes back to Ziklag, and the Amalekites had burned the city. They had taken their families. They had taken everything. And David was greatly discouraged. His men were discouraged. Look at how David prepared. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because all the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David sent to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me thither the ephod, and Abiathar brought thither the ephod to God. He's going to talk to God about the situation. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover them all. David goes to God, and he asks, and God gives an answer and says, go get them. You're going to get everything back. Go. How did Saul prepare? Look back two chapters, please, at 1 Samuel chapter number 28. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. And verse 6 to 8. The same set of verses, just two chapters different. Verse 6 to 8 in 1 Samuel 28. Saul's distressed about what's going on. And look at verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. By the way, that wasn't God's fault, that was Saul's fault. We'll see that in a minute. Then Saul said unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a spiritess, you know, a fortune teller as it were, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Now the reason he dresses himself up is because Saul had previously, when things were going better, he had outlawed spiritism. Now he's sneaking in there. By the way, we won't read it. The message isn't good. The lady freaks out because when she goes through a little voodoo, God lets Samuel talk. That's not God putting his stamp of approval, because that lady was afraid when she saw that. That was not normal occurrence. That was God giving him a message saying, you're done. And he lost. Their preparation is different. One was on a spiritual path, obviously, one ran to God, and the other was not on a serious path. So why did they have different results? Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, they had different results because it was determined by how they handled discouragement. The reason both of these men went somewhere to ask for help is because they were discouraged. David was discouraged because his men, and by the way, these just weren't guys. These were what the Bible calls mighty men. These were the guys you wanted to fight with. They were smaller, but these guys knew what they were doing. You read the story of his mighty men and how they did different battles on their own, and it's like, yeah, that's my kind of guy right there. That's who I want. But they were talking because they were so discouraged about stoning David. But David went to the Lord. He didn't let discouragement take him down. Saul was facing discouragement too. He knew the Lord was no longer with him. He knew that his greatest ally in fighting this enemy would have been David. And his greatest warriors in the battle would have been David's mighty men. But he alienated them. He sent them away. And he was discouraged. One of them handled discouragement right. The other did not handle it right. Now here's the problem. Discouragement was not the issue. All of us have times when we start to get down. All of us have times when a situation comes and we may not boo-hoo, we may not have a full pity party and all that, but we start to feel down. We start to look at the situation and we get a little bit, you know, we get a little bit fearful might be a strong term, but you know what I'm talking about. We let it start getting to us. That's not the problem. The problem is, how do we handle the discouragement that comes our way? How do you handle discouragement? How you handle discouragement, trials, situations of life, and circumstances, now listen to this, shows everyone the type of Christian you are, including yourself. Anyone can be a great Christian when everything's honky-dory. Everyone can be happy in the Lord when everything is roses. What about when things aren't roses? What about when things aren't going well? What kind of Christian are you then? See, that tests us. That, if we allow God, that molds us and it helps us to be what God wants us to be. Understand this, none of those things ruin us, they only reveal us. They only reveal us. And if you don't have something in place before these situations come, you're not gonna make it. And we'll look at some of those in a minute. How do you handle discouragement? We should see the situations that come in our life as measuring sticks to determine where we are in our Christianity. And if we did that, we would probably do better. We should see those situations as life as opportunities for more growth and not obstacles to growth. Problems don't destroy you. They can help you to be more determined and help you in your relationship with God. So how do you handle discouragement? Secondly, why were they so different? Well, that was determined by their closeness to the Lord. You see, everything previous in each of these men's relationship to God came out in full force when the problems hit. Saul was not a spiritual man before the problems came. That's why he had no problem going to the witch at Endor. But David, if you know it, David spent time with God. Read the Psalms. You don't write the book of Psalms. God can't use someone to write the book of Psalms if they've not went through some things, right? And being a shepherd and spending time meditating on the word and finding God. It was determined by their closeness to the Lord. We see that Saul was distant. His life was not one of a close relationship to God. Saul was one of these, he could talk the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. That's why he lost the kingdom. We are not going to go through it, but you remember the story. God said, go kill him. Take care of the Amalekites. Kill the king. Don't take anything of theirs. And he comes back, and Samuel the prophet comes to see him, and he hears the sheep. He knows that he's been disobedient. And Saul talks a spiritual talk. Blessed be the Lord. And Samuel's like, I didn't hear that because I heard some sheep. What did you say again? And he blamed the people. I'm doing everything. And then he kept the king because that's your trophy. I've got the other king on a string. He didn't listen. He was not in the habit of being close to the Lord. In verse 6 of chapter 28, it says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Now, Saul went to the Lord, but I think that was superficial. And he very quickly pivoted away from that. Maybe if he had thrown himself on the ground to the Lord, maybe God would have listened. You do realize that sometimes God listened to some heathen kings. I mean, he even bailed Ahab out before. Probably felt sorry for him because he was married to Jezebel. I don't know. But he wasn't determined. He was not in the habit of being close to the Lord, so when problems came, he wasn't. By the way, if you are distant in your relationship with God now, that's not going to change when you have a problem. Now, you can grow forward, but if we ignore God in everything, when a problem comes, we usually start separating even more. That's the person that says, well, you know, God doesn't care. The reason you don't think God cares is because you never realized his caring before that time. What was David? David was direct. David did not let the fog of discouragement keep him from going directly to God. In verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, we read it, he was distressed. The people were talking to stoning him. He had nobody on his side, not even his men. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I mean, it's like he needed those guys, I get it, but it's like, I'm good, I can just go to God. And God was there for him. The point is, let's stay as close to God as possible. What will make the difference from going to discouragement to encouragement is your time with God. Remember last Sunday when we preached for Easter about the men on the road to Emmaus? That's a 7 to 8 mile trip. If they were really quick about it, they could probably do it an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. If they were slow, it'd probably take them, you know, 2 to 2.5 hours. And who was with them on that trip? Jesus. So let's just say Jesus was with them for about an hour. By the time they got back, they're like, remember when he was talking with us? How our hearts burned within us? These were guys that were discouraged. They're like, man, as he opened the scriptures and he told us what was going on, he was explaining everything, our hearts started to burn. That was 1 hour with Jesus. Yeah, you know, I wonder, I heard someone say this thought about the story once, and it is true. She goes, he's like, you know, let's just say they spent an hour with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And we saw how they were discouraged, and now they were encouraged, and they were energetic. And he's like, I wonder if we even spend that much time with Jesus in a week. Could it be we're discouraged because we don't spend any time with Jesus? We're not in the habit of doing that? And the fact of the matter is, sometimes problem comes, if we went to Jesus, we wouldn't even know where to go. The point is, let's not be like them. Let's stay close to the Lord all the time. Third, the difference was determined also, and this is very important, by where they went for guidance. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting spiritual help. And not just from God, but from other spiritual Christians. There's nothing wrong with getting encouragement from people. The problem is a lot of Christians go to the wrong place to get counsel. Remember Rehoboam, Solomon's son? Solomon, towards the end of his life, was not a good person. In fact, he was bad. And the people came to Rehoboam and said, hey, your dad was a little off kilter here towards the end. Can you just chill out some of the things he was doing? We'll serve you. We're not asking you. You know, we're not here saying we don't want to serve, but can you tone it down a little bit? So he goes and talks to the men who who were with his dad, and they probably saw the destruction that Solomon brought upon himself. And they're like, these people are right. If you'll just bring it down a couple notches, they'll serve you forever. They'll be on board with you. And then he goes to his buddies. By the way, that phrase right there just makes me nauseous. Go to your buddies, your own age group, his peers. They don't have enough common sense to blow fuzz off a peanut. Okay, they have about as much life skill as who knows, nobody. A 20-year-old doesn't know what's going on. And they're like, oh, you're the king now. You got the power. Put the hammer down. Yeah, he did. And there was 12 tribes. You know how many he ended up with? 2. The other 10 said, we're out. They checked out. It's where you go for cat guidance. Where did Saul go? We already saw it. He went and saw a lady who was a spiritualist. Those who Saul had forbidden. By the way, let me just say this. This kind of stuff is legit. No, it's not legit. It's real. That stuff's real. Do you know Satanism is real? I've talked to many people. Look, you know, we think about drug usage. The word for drug, the word for sorcery in the Bible is the word we get pharmacy. I've talked to several people who have told me that they hear voices. Okay? It usually means one of two things. Number one, you're married, and that voice is your wife. You might want to listen. Okay? Everyone I've asked, I'm like, are you on drugs? Are you doing drugs? They always say yes. Because that's an open door to the occult. It is. Ouija boards and all this nonsense. We think it's a joke, but spiritual, that stuff's real. Be careful, by the way, in the music and the things that you listen to. But Saul goes to a spiritualist. Now, most of us won't go to a spiritualist, right? But you do realize what Satanism is. Satanism is a doctrine that you are your own God and you make your own decisions. That's the core of Satanism. It's not sacrificing cats in a pentagram with candles. That's actually bad advertisement for Satan. Satanism is nothing more than what he told Adam and Eve. You take the fruit and you'll be your own God. You'll decide what's right and wrong in your life. That's the core of Satanism. If you go to others who have spiritual, who are not spiritual or have non-scriptural mindset to get advice, that is a terrible idea. Most people, it's nothing more than they want to go to someone who will tell them what they want to hear. And by the way, some of you young people, you should be careful who you listen to. You're making life decisions about what you're doing in your career, where you're going for college, based on your buddy, and your buddy is clueless. You know, we'll joke around sometimes, tell our kids, like, we forgot more about child rearing than you'll ever know. Now, that's not true, because they'll learn, but, I mean, like, we've had a bunch of them. You go to your, you know, hey, man, I think you should just do this. Where did you get that from? Now, if you have spiritual friends that'll take you to the Bible and push you in the right direction, and by the way, if you come see me, I'm not God. And if you have, I've never told anybody what to do. But I'll tell you bad ideas. I'll tell you when you're violating scripture. I was talking to someone last year or so, and they had to make a decision, and I wasn't going to make a decision for them, but I asked them a question, and once they answered the question, I said, well, I can tell you based on scripture, don't do that. Because if you step into that realm, you're violating scripture. But you might want to get some advice. But we don't want to because we want to do our own thing. Be careful who you go to. David, he went to the spiritual. He went to Abiathar the priest and said, ask God, go to God and find out what's going on. By the way, when you are getting counsel about something, here's what you really should want. You should want God's will in the situation. Do you know, look at the question he asked God. David asked God. You know, look, his wives were taken captive. His children were taken captive. And he's like, should we pursue after them? Now, I don't know about you, but if someone carried my family off, I probably wouldn't have asked God about that. I would have got a shotgun and went on my way. But he knew he needed God's help. And so he's like, God, should I do this? And he's like, go for it. And you're going to get everything back. He didn't even rely on what seemed like the right situation. He went to God for it. Where do you go to when you want advice? And I will say this before we move on. This is extra credit. Quit letting people direct you by their criticism. You know, some people try to get you to make decisions. They criticize you going to the right place. Well, you know, so-and-so's blah, 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 blah. By the way, there's two sides to every story. You might want to get both sides. Okay? People will say all kinds of stuff. I don't know if you remember, Alma, years ago, when we were over on Anaheim, pastor called me on Saturday morning and said, look, there's a newer couple in the Khmer department, and they had a little meeting and criticized us to the Khmer department. We were running Patch, and their child needed a book. You probably don't remember. And so they came in late, so we paid. They gave us money to buy the book, and it wasn't enough. And my wife and I paid the difference, and we paid like 10 extra bucks to have it overnighted so their kids could get there. They went around telling people we were stealing the Patch money. So pastor brought the leaders of the Khmer department in and brought my wife and I in. And it's like, you know, fortunately I had the receipt. And I'm like, you know, here, you guys gave us like 10 bucks for the book. You know, this cost $30. My wife and I paid the rest. And the rest of the people in the Khmer department looked over at the people like, what are you talking about? Now, you know, a lot of times we can't get up and defend ourselves. Someone talks about you don't even know what's going on. You can't defend yourself. And the fact of the matter is, if you did, they'd just tear you down. But listen, if someone's critical, I don't want their advice. I don't want it. Because that shows me what their relationship with God is. Anyhow, let's move on. And lastly, what made the difference between these two men? And I already alluded to it. It was made by the choices that they made in their distress. In our distress, it's easy to make the wrong choices. But if we will stay close to God, we'll be willing to go to people to help us, willing to go to people that not only will give us guidance, but will pray for us. But if that's not who you are, you won't do that. The choices you make are determined by the person you are, the level of spirituality you have, and who you let influence you. That's the sum of our life. You sit down, if you don't have a spiritual mindset, you're not going to sit down and make a choice like, well, let me figure out what God wants. That's out the window. You'll go to people that are about as close to God as a brick in a wall. And you'll just make some, and you don't see it. Choices are very important. It's okay to take a little time to make the right choice than to fly off the handle and just make a choice. That's very important. You say, but I just feel like, you know, I've had people make bad decisions and like, why did you do that? And they'll say, I just felt like I had to do something. Nothing is better than just doing something. But Saul's decision drove him farther away. He was already on that path, and now he's making decisions that are taking him farther off of that path. But not David. You ever see someone that made a horrible decision? I remember years ago when I was a kid, I went to the mountains with my friend and his family, Billy. We were, I don't know, fourth and fifth grade. And we were the only kids there, and it was a bunch of adults. And to be real honest with you, they weren't really, Billy's family wasn't the best family. They probably weren't making the best life choices. And they got to partying one night. Not us, we were, you know, but they're like, hey, let's go sledding. And they're like, oh, that'll be cool, man, let's do it. And this one guy goes, I'll do it. So we were up in Crest Line, I think it is, or somewhere like on the way to. And they decided to go down this road, a regular street, downhill, and it winds. And they're like, come on, you won't do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And he got on his sled. You couldn't see the end of the road, right? It kind of, well, we went down to the bottom of the road to see him. And I noticed when we got there, there was a car parked off to the side on the road. Now, the guy coming on the sled, he figured that out, too, when he got wedged underneath it. We just saw him come and like, ah! We pried him out, took him to the hospital, you know, and all that stuff. But, boy, he made it because all of his friends were egging him on. Come on, it's going to be great. It wasn't great. He did not enjoy those next few days. We make such terrible decisions sometimes. We either stir ourselves up or somebody else stirs us up, and we start that momentum, and it's not very good. You ever see people thought, you know, I never thought I'd have these problems in my life. I never thought my marriage, my family would go that way. I never thought my career, I never thought I would have all these different problems. Could it be sometimes that we are making wrong decisions? But look what happened to David. David's situation drove him closer to the Lord. Understand, when things come in your life, God understands all that. God knew it. He didn't like, oh, wow, what a bummer this happened to you. God knows what's going on. And if you're close to him and you're trying to be close to him, God will use that to drive you closer to him, not drive a wedge. It's like I said earlier, problems never ruin you. They only reveal you. And Saul's life ended like that because that revealed who he really was. And David continued on because that revealed who he really was. The same people sitting in the same church, hearing the same messages, reading the same Bible, who have the same opportunity, and yet years later, the results are vastly different. Why? It's the decisions we make. And I encourage you, make the right decisions. Don't take these things lightly. Because where you are 5, 10, 15 years from now, it'll be because of the decisions you're making on that path. And that path will change if you make the wrong decisions. So let's be very careful. Let's stand together this evening, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. Thank you for listening. I realize that maybe some of you, and maybe most of you, you're not going through a problem right now. You're not facing a situation in life right now. But you will someday. And the type of person you are right now, the type of life you're living right now, the type of spirituality you have right now will go a long way towards when these things come to our life in the future. Let me ask you this, are you prepared? All of Saul's bad actions left him ill prepared for that battle he faced. And not only did he die, his sons died, and his kingdom ended forever. And yet David, at the same time, facing a battle without the power of a whole nation behind him, his own men questioning what was going on, was able to do just fine. Are you prepared for the battles that are coming your way? Are you spending time with God? Is your whole goal in life to find out what God wants you to do in every situation and to the best of your ability follow it? If that's not your life now, it's not going to be your life when a problem comes. In this place, there'll be people, you'll face the same type of problems and situations as others, and some of you will do just fine, and some of you, your lives will fall apart. Why? You're not preparing for that right now. Why did they have such different results? Because they were such different people. Let's be the kind of person that God can speak to, that God can lead. The piano's gonna play. God spoke to you tonight, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Maybe you're going through a problem right now and it's hitting you and you're like, hey, get some good counsel. Or get someone to pray for you. Get someone to encourage you along the path. You don't have to have all the answers, but you need to know where to go to find the answers in the scriptures and in spiritual people who will encourage you.